Those were really good reminders. I'm going to go ahead and pray again because we need another time of prayer. Father, I just thank you again, though, for the good reports. I thank you for how faithful you are and just the encouragement you give us. I thank you for transformation today. And I thank you that you are preparing our hearts for Passover, for celebrating this feast day again with you. I thank you that we are excited and we look forward to these spring feast days, Father, as you have, you continue to show us your, reveal who you are to us each year. So we just thank you for this day that there would be no confusion here today, that you open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to understand, and that you reveal yourself to us this day. We just bless your holy name, Yeshua. Amen. Okay, thank you. Am I echoey? I feel like I am a little bit. Okay, so last week we talked about, I Will Survive. But we talked about breakthrough, and so today this was my message title, is Break On Through to the Other Side. And we are going to talk, I know it's such a pagan song, I'm sorry. But the meaning is good. Because that is what the season that we are in. That's what God showed me this week. We're in a season of breakthrough. And it's not something that happens overnight, typically. So when I asked the Lord about what he wanted me to teach on, I felt like it was, this is our theme right now. We're going to be on breakthrough for a few weeks because it's our theme. And we're going to be committed to this because we are in a season of breakthrough. Just like when a woman is in childbirth, when she's in those last stages of those birth pangs, that it's a time of preparing, it's a time of trial, but it's a time that's getting ready to bring forth new life. So that's the time we're in, and we're committed to that time, and we're committed to seeing that new life, right? I'm declaring that we are, so I hope you, if you agree with me, that's our new thing, and you hear God in it. So some of the concepts that I think are worth reviewing, because God has really been giving us some depth over the past few weeks, the things that he's been revealing. I think it's really important that we continue to review those because it's like math. We're learning to build upon these concepts so that we can graduate to the next step. So one of those was talking about Yahweh being in the darkness, amen. Yahweh being in the trials and the hard times that we go through, the scary things, the times when we feel alone, that Yahweh's in those. And so there's a couple scriptures there that talks about him being in fact, I have them right here. And people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And in Psalms it says, clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. So he's there in the midst of deep trial and our grief even. He's there when we think that he's not. He is always there. He is faithful in all things. And the things that we think are hard or bad in this life or the curses, God's in that too. He is so merciful that he allows those hard things to come into our life because it's what shapes us and refines us. And it's really what causes us to cling to him. The other part about that being in the darkness is that he's in the darkness and the clouds. And the clouds are that great cloud of witnesses. Those are the ones, the saints that have gone before us. Those are my grandparents that that went through trials and they prayed the same prayers that I pray. You know, and they survived through those things. That's a great cloud of witnesses. Godly people that I know personally that went before me and cried out and to the living God and overcame trials. That's also God in the darkness and in the clouds. We talked about going out of survival and into revival because these last 2 years have been a little bit of survival mode. Would you agree with that? But it's time. God said it's time. It's time to come out of that mode. It's time to come into a place of revival now. And it's time to start trusting again and not worrying about the next thing. It's just, I think it's like God wanting us to come out of that place of insecurity. Even if the ground feels shaky, the ground underneath us is Yahweh's ground, right? That's who we inherit. We inherit Yahweh's ground. So that is not shaky for us. We have a firm foundation. Even if the world's crumbling around us, as God's people, We have smooth pathways in front of us. And again, we are not judging by what we feel. We're judging by what we know. We're judging by the living God. We're judging by a faithful God, a faithful and just God who is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we say, yes, that ground is straight. That ground is firm underneath us, even if we don't feel it. This is a time of and a season for all. There is a time and a season for all things. And now we are in a time of renewal. We were told to be afraid in 2020. How many of us took that in and consumed that pill to be afraid? I did for a little bit. I freaked out for a little bit there when we didn't know what was going on and we heard someone, an acquaintance of ours who was, near-death experience with COVID. And it was freaky. I thought, oh my gosh, this is the plagues, it's coming. And then I had to get a grip. Because that's what we do. We have to. It's okay to have fear, but how do we respond to that? You know, and if we dig into God and we trust Him, that's either choosing life or death, really. So there is a season and a time for all things. There's a time to be afraid, but then there's a time in what you do with it, too. So we were told to be afraid, and we were told to swallow that pill over and over and over. In fact, it was hostile if you spoke out against that fear. And that's not right. But we had to swallow that. We were told to, at least. We didn't have to swallow it. We were told to distance ourselves from those around us that actually would have given us strength in that time. We were told to separate. We were told, in fact, one of the main people at that time, Dr. Birx, told us that the evangelical Christians were the ones spreading COVID the most. That they were the ones, and that you should not be singing. And especially if you're an evangelical Christian, you're spreading COVID. Does that sound a little bit like a scheme of the enemy? Yeah. So, we were told to obey immoral mandates. We were told to lay low. Just don't say anything. Just lay low. Don't cause any waves. But this season has ended. And you know how I know? Because God's people are the ones that lead the way through those things. We are the ones that part the waters. We are the ones that make smooth those pathways. We're the ones that walk on dry ground. So that season has ended. And now we're being nudged and pushed into a new season and recognizing the ones we are in. If this doesn't bear witness to you, then maybe you don't know the season, that you are in right now. So that's important to ask the Lord, what season am I in? Am I in a season of growth right now, or am I in a season of needing to strengthen the roots? Because typically that's what happens in winter. I've talked about this a few times, that's a time when the roots are strengthened and it prepares for blooming, it prepares for growth. So I think it's important to know, are you in a pruning season too? Okay, because that's an important thing, and usually pruning brings strength to the root. So even though we're being nudged and pushed out of our current season, do we know what He is pushing us toward? I don't really know. Does that give you confidence? I don't know exactly what He's pushing us toward, because I don't have that clear picture, but I continue to see just that little first step in front of me. And maybe that's all you know right now. That's okay. You may not know steps 1 through 10. And honestly, I think God really kind of likes it that way. He likes us to feel like, okay, is that a ledge? Is that the next step? Or is it, no, it's trusting Him that there's solid ground there. And He's going to show us when the time is right, when He needs to reveal that step to us. But that's what it means to walk in faith. It's saying, okay, I can see this step. I will step into it, but I'm going to trust You for the next thing, Yahweh. But He does, in His faithfulness, He nudges, He pushes, just like Lot when He got him out of where he was, in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was comfortable there. As a man of God, he should not have been comfortable in a place like that, but he was. But in God's mercy, in his covering for him, God nudged and pushed him out and even took him by the hand, took his daughters by the hand and brought them out. We also talked about how our offerings are about offerings, and they show us how to have intimacy with Yahweh, how to be restored to God's heart and what that means. You know, offerings are a place where it establishes God's government. This is something he's been hammering home with me lately, which is, it's such a foreign thought to think that an offering is God's government. But God is establishing his government right now through his people. Amen. Do you know, right now in Grand Junction is our county assembly today. That's a time where there's over 600 people there today, delegates, and they're pushing for who they think is the best candidate. They get to vote for several, you know, of their own that they think is top dog. But I see that today as that is establishing government over Mesa County. We need to keep that in prayer because we want that to be an God's established government. We want it to be a godly government that's being raised up. And that's why every time we've had any candidates up here, you notice I didn't say vote for them. First of all, as a pastor, I'm not allowed to. But secondly, because ask God, you know, let God anoint, let God push them forward, you know, and let God choose them. That's what I pray. Your will be done, Father, in these candidates. Because, but I am praying for his will to be done because that will establish his government. But those offerings, when we bring those offerings up, this was Nadab and Abihu. They were Aaron's two sons that here they spent 7 days being consecrated, being set apart, being prepared to come out and be priests. And the first thing they did is set up their own government. They brought an offering that was not the right prescribed offering. And much like Tony shared today, there is a way to approach God. And we need to know. It's not all groovy, greasy grace, right? It's order. And that doesn't mean there's not room for spirit, because we absolutely need to be led of the Holy Spirit. But there's order within that. But those offerings restore us. They anchor us. They remind us of how we are, how we relate to one another in here. Really, that's, to me, is the main purpose of those offerings. When we are in right accord with our brothers and sisters, then we are usually in right relationship with God too. Because we have recognized when we've brought offense or we've trespassed or we've, you know, whatever, we've missed something there. When we are recognizing that and we're in right relationship with our brother and sister, it means that now we're ready to be in, we're in right position with God too. They also helped atone for sin and taught us how to approach a very holy God. We talked about knowing our role and understanding our authority. That was a while back, and that's something I feel like God continues to hammer home. I don't think we really know our role or know our authority unless we know whose we are first. You know, if someone asks you your name, who your identity is, it's typically the family you're a part of, right? Your family name. So if we don't know who we are, whose family we belong to, then we don't understand our inheritance. We don't understand the gifts we've been given. We don't understand any of it. So we need to know first, who are you? Who do you, that was one of my titles too. Who are you, right? Or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, but whose are you? If you are a child of the king, then you get all the things that a child of the king gets. You get a seat at the table. You get the awesome food. And it's not the scraps. It's the good turkey. It's the prime rib, you know? It's the creamy mashed potatoes and all of it. It's the good stuff. But it's, you know, as just like in a Hebrew wedding, the obligations of a husband are food, clothing, and shelter, and intimacy rights. Same thing with our God. Just as a faithful father, he brings us, he gives us food, provision, right? He provides for us. He gives us shelter. He provides a covering for us. He gives us an inheritance. Remember, the priests don't actually inherit land. They inherit God. That's their inheritance. That's my inheritance. Is that yours? Yes. And a covering that he clothes us. He clothes us in him. And hopefully we reflect him. And he promises a close relationship, and he shows us how even. He gives us an instruction booklet on how to have a close relationship with him. But notice that it started with obedience first. It starts with when they were in Egypt, and he said, put the blood on your doorpost and make sure you do it before sundown. Get it done. If they had said, well, he knows my heart, I don't need to do that. It started with obedience. And then from there, he gave them the next step, right? And as they walked in obedience, he taught them his Torah. He taught them his instruction. But it came with the Spirit first, the Spirit-led obedience. So we also mentioned the important role of midwives this week. You know, when we met on Thursday, we had some county leaders come in. We had a commissioner join us that day. We had someone who's higher up in the sheriff's department come in that day. We had some pastors. These are leaders within our community. And I talked about being the deliverers, being the midwives, and the role of midwives and what they did. And it just really hit me and struck me. That's what you should share, too. Oh, you're going to. My mom was sharing something that you'll have to wait. It's a good story. It bore witness, though, about the midwives. But that's the role that we have, too, that we bring forth life. And some of the things that the midwives are responsible for, they helped to bear young, so to bring forth life. They showed lineage, so they actually pronounced their lineage, too, at times. Isn't that interesting? They helped to deliver. They declared pedigrees, which is just another name or another word for lineage. They declared, yes, this is so-and-so. Some of those scriptures there, like it talks about when they, I forgot to grab my phone and it has it on there, but when Judah's sons came out and they tied the red cord around one and then the hand went back in, right? And then the other child was born. The midwife is the one that said, this is the firstborn. So they pronounce these things, and there's significance in that. Yeah, there's significance in naming who they are. Again, as a midwife, we're saying, you're from the kingdom of God. We should recognize that in each other, right? And in those in the community, that we can say, hey, you're God's, aren't you? That's pronouncing their lineage, just like a midwife does. And then lastly, breakthrough. The portion this week is called Shemini, and it means eighth. And it's like also known as a graduation day. That was there. It's just like when we go through high school and we've been prepared. We've done like so many years of education and preparation. And then we have a graduation day. And that's when we get to apply all that knowledge and see if it actually is wisdom or not. So that was their graduation day. They had opportunity to put their knowledge to practice. And they served as a great example for us, right, on what not to do. The concept of the breakthrough, too, is a new beginning. It's something that's what the eighth day was, too. It means you've been, let me just move on, sorry. What's significant about this day? It's also about establishing his government. Have you established his government in your home? That's where it starts, is in your home first. That this is the right order of things in your home. When I say government, it's because God is not just our Father and our Savior and our friend. He also is our judge. He's a judge. He's also the one that took away a penalty against us, the death penalty against us. But as a judge, he also has that authority to rule in our favor or to enact a punishment against us. So when we go and we appeal to him, when we go to his courtroom and we appeal to him, we're saying, wait a minute, is this a lawful judgment against us? Father, is there a judgment against me? And that's something I think that he's wanting us to learn. This is actually the step that brings us through to breakthrough, is asking him if there's any outstanding judgments against us and recognizing what those are, because that's establishing his government in our home. If there's a judgment against you, like, hey, you know what? years ago, you pronounced something over yourself. I don't know if you meant it or it was a flippant remark or serious, but you said, you know, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to go to church on Saturday, you know, or whatever it is, you know. I'm never going to do this or that. You know, we do say things like that. Those are vows, but sometimes we're pronouncing a judgment against ourselves, you know, and yeah, or I'm never going to forgive that person. So when we go and we say, Lord, why do I have this disease on me? And he says, well, you pronounced a harsh judgment on someone many years ago that you never forgave. Because that does bring illness to our lives, is lack of forgiveness. So when we go and we say, oh, righteous judge, forgive me. I forgive, so please forgive me. Bring, you know, cancel that judgment against me. That's when in his courtroom he says, okay, it's canceled. And you have breakthrough in that area. So God's teaching me about this. I just literally this week about going to his courtroom. It's something that he just started teaching me. And all last night, he just kept waking me up with things about it. It's really powerful. But showing me that that courtroom is the altar. That's where it begins, is what we put on the altar. So Hebrews 12 talks about you have come to Mount Zion. Mount Zion is a place of government, because that's where instruction has been given. That's where judgment was given. It's to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, a joyous gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are written in a scroll in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous ones made perfect. This is talking about his holy court right here. And to Yeshua, who is the mediator, he's the one that goes between us, of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks of something better than the blood of Abel. What did it say about the blood of Abel when he was slain by Cain? It cries out in judgment, right? The blood is what carries the life, right? The life is in the blood. So our blood, that means life and death, though. When we choose death, that becomes a part of our DNA. It gets passed down to our children, too. When we choose to walk in realms of death, we are creating that in our DNA. Sorry. But if the life is in the blood, and we consider that the actions we take, we create patterns in our lives, right? And, you know, there's a lot of things that our kids learn that are trained in them, and there's a lot of things that they inherit that are not trained. They're nature and nurture. But these things are in our DNA, these things that we do create patterns. We pass them down into our generations. The life is in the blood. And that blood cries out in judgment at times against us. So it's important when we bring an offering, we're offering up that area and asking God to reverse that curse in our lives and in our children. You know, we're, as Pastor Karen mentioned, we're coming into a season, we're coming into Passover. Part of that work day, that Sunday preceding Passover, is a time for us to come in and clean house. And what we do physically reveals a spiritual understanding as well. So we're going to come here. If you consider this your fellowship, then you need to be here. If you can be here, you need to be here. Because it's a time of coming together and cleaning out our fellowship together. And that's what we do as family. We do life together. And then we do it at home. During that week of unleavened, we're looking for the unleaven in our home, or the leaven in our home. Gosh, pray for my throat right now. We'll get it open. But that cleaning out the leaven in our homes is what reveals these things, and it's important. And it's interesting, too, because it doesn't mean we have to have it all cleaned out by Passover. We're supposed to be looking, and he reveals things as we go through the week. When you're faithful to do that, he's faithful to reveal those things in our lives. This is going to be annoying, huh? So, let's see. Part of what they were called to do, going back to Nadab and Abihu, part of what they were called to do was to start to go out, apply what God had just taught them. They spent 7 days in a tent, set apart, being trained, being, you know, all the instruction was given to them. And I assure you, it was given to them in detail. They knew what they had to do. For whatever reason, they went out and sabotaged it. They were supposed to be the breakers. They were supposed to be the way makers. And that is the same charge that we have. We are supposed to go out and be the breakers. We are supposed to be the way makers. So arise and go, for this is not your resting place. Do you get that? This is not where we're supposed to hang out. He wants us to always be moving. Because of uncleanness that destroys, a grievous destruction. If a man walking in a spirit of falsehood speaks lies, I will prophesy for you of wine and strong drink. Then he would be a spokesman of this people. It's like, does that make sense to you? Because I had to read it a few times, but it's basically like, the spokesman for your people is someone who speaks lies and you're comfortable with it. This was a charge to the prophets at the time, or not to the prophets, but to the people, because they weren't listening to the prophets. It was saying that you're comfortable with just staying in your slumber and the lie, the falsehoods and the strong drink that keep you dull. It is like our country, it's right, and it is another spirit. But he says, I will surely gather Jacob, all of you. Who is Jacob? It's Israel. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. Why do you think he says Jacob and Israel in that? I think it's the whole nation. I think it's his faithfulness. Because often when we saw Jacob in the scripture, it was when he was in his flesh. And Israel was when he was walking triumphantly. I think he's like, I'm going to gather all y'all. Even when you messed up, I'm still going to gather you. But I'm going to put them together like sheep in a pen, right? Like a flock within its pasture, they'll be noisy with people, but one breaking through will go up before them. Who is that? That's Yeshua, and hopefully that's us. They will break through, they will pass through the gate and go out by it. Their king will pass through before them, Yahweh at their head. That is us. That is supposed to be us. But in that time, their hearts were hard against the prophets, but the prophets are the prodders. They're the waymakers. They're the midwives. They're the ones that challenge us to break through to our next season. We have a spirit of prophecy when we speak the words of God too. And there are modern day prophets. Do we know who they are? Do we recognize them? Look around. Yeah, there are some on YouTube even. They really are. They do exist. I think we need to test them. Do they line up with the word of God? Are the things they're saying, are they coming to pass? Definitely, we need to be testing them. But the prophets, they are not dead. And I think there was a time when we did push prophets aside. And I don't know that we always recognize them, because they don't look the same these days. But we really do need to, and we need to usher that in and allow that to be a part of, to really heed the warnings of the prophets. It's something I feel like God is teaching me, because it's not something I really grew up knowing a lot about, but I think, and it's an area where I've been really cautious in as well, you know, and we should be. So even in our most difficult trials, and I'm sorry if this seems like kind of all over the map, but I promise you it's working toward a theme of breakthrough. Even in our most difficult trials, when it seems as if our cries to him are being ignored, his faithfulness and goodness never change. There again, it's not judging by our feelings. It's judging by the faith, his faithfulness, because we are not faithful. We constantly are faithless. We mess up all the time. Thankfully, his mercy, though, allows us to continue to aim again, to come back, hit the mark. But his faithfulness is what will allow us to break through into our next season? Is there an area of struggle? Is there an area that you feel and you think that God is particularly calling you to examine, that you need breakthrough in? I can imagine that everyone in here probably feels like there's some area that they want breakthrough in. You need to tell yourself that it's possible, first of all. We often don't believe that we can have breakthrough in things. We, especially when we've struggled in that area for years and years and years, we have listened to a lie and we've absorbed it. And it's time to throw that off. It's time to, first of all, how do we approach, how do we bring our offering? We first wash, we bring it up and we wash our hands. We bring that offering and then we wash. So that means we approach God and we say, Yahweh, forgive me. Forgive me for not believing you. Forgive me for allowing a lie to prevail. Forgive me for establishing a false government in my mind. Because when you put up anything that is not of him, that is establishing a government that's not his. When we put fear above what he says he'll do in our lives, and that's giving us abundant life, that's giving us the ability to rule and reign with him, but we don't believe him, then we've established a false government. We have just Nadab and Abihu'd that puppy. Okay? That's a verb now. And he wants us to be that new beginning. He wants us to graduate and walk into that eighth day. That's the concept. That's a breakthrough. That's what eighth day is. It's walking in a new season. It's saying, okay, this area where I failed and failed and failed, no more. I'm not going to fail. And this is the part that this is where I think we often fail. We say, okay, we're going to succeed. And we give it about a few days, maybe a week if we're really strong. And it doesn't happen, and we say, forget it. I'm just gonna go back here. I don't want to put myself out there again. God didn't see me through. So, okay, this is where we have to recognize that it's a process. We have to be committed to the process. Just like sometimes when you forgive someone, you don't instantly feel it, especially if they've really wronged you. But God calls you to forgive, right? So you have to be obedient. But so you commit to the process of forgiving that person. And guess what? Maybe a year later, you've actually forgiven them in your heart too. You know? So this is a process that God wants us to commit to. I'm going to say I'm committing to a process of breakthrough in a certain area in my life. Thank you, Lorraine. That helped. Anyway. This is what I'm asking, that we would, we'll look at this later. We'll talk about that part again. But we are going to make some declarations today. And because we are a church of breakthrough. We're not only a praying church, but we're a church of breakthrough and we're a church of influence. And that's how we influence, is by establishing his government in our lives first. And then we can establish his government out there too. So Yeshua the Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. These are scriptures of his faithfulness. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. So when you feel like he is letting you down, you need to look up scriptures like this, because they are the opposite. They are the truth over that lie. They cancel it out and they say, no, he is faithful. This is our God that we can depend upon. This is the God that when they came out of Egypt and they saw that scary Red Sea and the freaky Pharaoh, you know, and Egyptians behind them, this is that God that said, step into the water and I'll part it. And they did. They stepped in. He parted it at the same time, or I don't know the timing of it, but whatever. He did it. Okay? He took something that looked impossible and he parted it, and the ground was dry. That's our God. That's your God that you serve. Remember that. Call that into your life. Speak that over your life. That's how you gain breakthrough. That's how you gain victory. My breakthrough is in my health, in the healing of my health, in hormones, in those things, and balancing those out. I know I'm being vulnerable here. I know Matt would be like, TMI, but yeah. We all have hormones, so we want ours to be balanced, right? That's right. So this is an area that I've declared breakthrough, and it's something that I've really faced, and I've been like, Lord, I'm going to continue to cry out to you, to cling to you for this, and to really, you know, I feel like, too, it's times that you just start looking up scripture. You know, there's not really, you know, Strong's Concordance, you look up hormones, there's not really a bunch of scriptures on that. But you can look up peace, you can look up, you know, emotions, you can look up things like that, that, you know, whatever is stability, that kind of thing. And that goes back to, is there a judgment against me? Is there something I walked in that opened up a realm of death in my life that has brought me to this place of cursing, really? And you go back and you examine and you really seek him persistently with due diligence and with tenacity. Yes? I think you can be a covering for a lot of people. They have to also want that, but you can cover them and you can ask God to chase them down, you know, and he's faithful. It may not look how you want or in your timing, but yes, we are that's part of being a midwife, is being an interceder. It's helping another person to bring forth life. Yes, we have to, and Pastor Curtis just said, before we can be a great intercessor, we have to be introspective. We have to establish that in our own lives first. That's where it always begins. Judgment begins with the house of God, so it comes to in us first. So what then shall we say in view of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? These are meant to be encouraging things for us, right? Nobody can be against us. And because of the mercies of Adonai, we will not be consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, Yahweh. Let's speak that. Great is your faithfulness, Yahweh. We trust you. Amen. So it is time for breakthrough. To the other side. That's right. The eighth-day concept is one of new beginnings, is holding fast to faith. It's walking in trust, and it's praying with hope. Don't ever let your hope run out. If you do, call your friend and say, I need some hope. Okay? Because that's what keeps us going. For if by the one man's transgression death reigned through the one, how much more shall those who receive the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, Messiah Yeshua? This is a scripture about government right here. We are meant to rule and to reign with Yahweh. That's what this says right there. If one man's death, or by the one man's transgression, death reigned through the one, how much more those receiving the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through Yeshua. That is what we're meant to rule and reign with Yahweh. So we are to rightly judge, too, over our lives. We can have that discernment and say, okay, that is, nope, that's death, that's life, that's death, that's life. I'm going to go this way. This is the path I'm walking. That's judgment. That's choosing life. So in this eighth day beginning, it means we've been set apart. We have tabernacled intimately with God. He invites us to do that, but we have to actually go into that tabernacle with him. He brings us to a place, and that's a training ground. You know, sometimes I even think about from Saturday to the next Saturday, that's a 7-day period of training, because Sunday is a new day, right? That's kind of an eighth day. So you're learning a new concept that you're walking. You're graduated from the last week and whatever he taught you, and you're walking in that newness in the following week and hopefully building upon that last concept until you get to the next Sabbath. And then you have another new beginning. So every week should be another new beginning. And if you didn't get it, then you get another week to get it. You know, he lets us circle the mountain sometimes. But that's what's so cool. That's the same picture of sin. It's just that opportunity to aim again. It's like, I'm sorry, Yahweh, I missed you. Or I wasted this week. You know, I took it for myself. I didn't establish your order, your government in my home. I established my own government. Please forgive me. thankfully, we do have that example of Nadab and Abihu, because what they lived through was so that we would not have to make that same mistake over and over in our lives, you know? So thank you, Yahweh, for those examples. And what we learn today, if we go out and we don't apply it, it's just knowledge and it's going to go away. But if we apply it, it becomes wisdom. And we become sages. We become prophets because we can say, we lived through that. We become a great cloud of witnesses for those that are walking in need of instruction. So these concepts worth reviewing. Well, I'm actually not going to go through each one again. I'm not sure why. I think it was just to, yeah. Okay. Are you committed to the process of breakthrough? So here's some questions we're going to ask ourselves today. First of all, raise your hand if you feel like God has shown you an area that you want breakthrough in. Okay? Awesome. Well, Father, I just thank you right now for those that raise their hands and those that are yet to. Abba, that you are revealing to each one of us an area that you do want us to push through, that you want to break us through. You want us to come out of that sheep pen and to be the way makers in that area. Father, we're not just doing it for our lives, we're doing it for our generations to come. So I just thank you. May that be an area of encouragement and empowerment to know that we're doing this for others to bring life. Thank you for revealing that to us right now. Amen. So, do you doubt when the journey gets long and you don't see victory? That is a human, that's everything. That's every one of us, I would assume. So that's where we have to continue to apply that faith. Do you recognize when you have trespassed against Yahweh? When you walked in something and you suddenly feel kind of gross in your gut, that's how, at least for me, that's how I feel. I feel like, gosh, what is bothering me right now? And then he'll take me back almost instantly in my mind, and he'll say, you just walked in this defilement. And I mean, it's almost like a movie reel in my head, and I'm like, oh, Lord, forgive me. And I go back to that moment, and I say, Yahweh, I'm sorry, forgive me, help me to do better, and move on. That's a trespass, right? when we didn't realize we did it. Do you resist change? Is that in your nature? Who in here is a spontaneous person? No one? Two people over there. You are? Okay. Yeah, I know you are. I am not a spontaneous. Oh, maybe I am in some things. But no, typically I'm not. So this, I think that kind of goes along with that same personality, is that when God wants to bring something in, usually we don't recognize it as being God. We just are annoyed with it. And we're annoyed with the person talking to us about it. But we need to recognize that that might be God too. That's why it's so important to be humble. It's so important to go back and be humble. You know what I read about this week too? The Leviathan spirit that twists and manipulates, it's also a haughty spirit. It's a prideful spirit. So that's an interesting concept, that when we are too proud to even notice or recognize that change that's coming to us, that's a Leviathan spirit. We need to recognize it for what it is, because it would seek to manipulate and to rob us of that new season God wants to bring us. So if we are resistant to change, we need to test that and ask the Lord, is this change coming from you or not? Do you know the role that Yahweh has called you to? Again, that's knowing whose you are and your inheritance and all the things. When you doubt that you have the tools, when you're not equipped, it's kind of a ridiculous thought if you really logically think about it. You know, if you think about times, during the times of kings and queens, princes and princesses, they had every bit of resource they needed. You know, they never lacked. When the rest of the country was starving to death, they're feasting, you know. It's kind of the same with our God. You have to realize that you have every equipment, every piece of equipment you need, every bit of provision and covering that you would ever need. So don't ever doubt that he has given you what you need to get through, to have your breakthrough. The thing about breakthrough is being persistent too. It's being committed to that time of prayer. It's being committed to seeing it happen. You know, it says that some things don't come about except for prayer and fasting. That's being persistent. And sometimes that's what it comes down to, is prayer and fasting, and might maybe multiple days of doing that. But are you bringing forth life in your life and in others? Are you a midwife? I had someone come up to me last week and say, I've decided you're my midwife. I should have said, well, I've decided you're mine. So that is, and so I think we understand what that concept is. But I think some of those declarations that I would like for us to speak, if you are in agreement, you don't have to, there's free choice, but that you are committed to breakthrough in your life. So if you are, then I'm going to say, I am committed to breakthrough in my life. I trust Yahweh to see that through. To the end. Because He is faithful in seeing these things through from beginning to end. I will not despise the day of small beginnings, but I will trust Him for my breakthrough and my new beginning. And I am a midwife that brings forth life. Amen. Yeah, if you agree, say amen, amen, amen. Amen. I think that might be my last slide. It is. So, as appropriate, next week's Torah portion is Tazria, which means she conceives or she bears seed. Isn't that appropriate, that timing? And Pastor Curtis will be teaching. Jerry and I will be out of town this upcoming weekend. So, he'll be up here teaching us life and breakthrough, right? It is about breaking through to the other side. That is truth. Birth and death are kind of both those things, right? So I'm going to go ahead and pray and bless the Lord for the food. So, Father, I just thank You again for this service. I thank You for the provision, and that You just continue to multiply the blessings in the lives of all the people that contribute here. I just thank You, Father. May we never worry about finances, but just always let it just flow through us, Abba. We love You. We thank You that You provide in every area. In Your name, Yeshua. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys.